remain standing, if you will, turn to James chapter number 5, probably one of the most famous verses and text, I should say, portion of verses on prayer. James chapter number 5, and I am glad we can tell it to Jesus. Amen. Tell him all of our troubles. We can trust him with it. There's some things you don't dare tell to some people, but I'm glad we can tell him. Amen. And we can tell him all of it. Amen. We don't have to hide anything from him. Amen. And thank God we don't. Thank you, brother. Amen. Amen. All right. James chapter number 5. And I'm going to begin reading in verse number 13. James chapter number 5 and verse number 13. The Bible says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I'm going to stop right there. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, we're thankful and grateful for your blessings of the day. Allowing us to be able to gather in here, though we're restricted. Thank you, Lord, that we have the opportunity as a restricted group to be here. We have the ability as the radio station, as a church, to be able to broadcast these services live. Thank you, Lord, for those that are helping us be able to do that. Now, the workers of the church, the workers of the radio, Lord, we're grateful for them. And thankful, Lord, that you allow us to be able to do that. Lord, I pray you'd help as we come together this morning, that our thoughts and hearts be knit around the Word of God and the things of God. Truly, Lord, you might teach us to pray, and you receive glory. We'll thank you because we do ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Well, I'm preaching today on a phrase out of verse number 16. It's a four-word phrase, so I've got a short title this morning, Brother Steve. Amen. That's an answer to prayer, isn't it? Amen. One sign that prayer works right there. Amen. The four words are these. Pray one for another. Pray one for another. I was thinking about that last night and this morning, and trying to discern what the Lord would have us to preach. I actually thought I was going a different route last night, and this morning the Lord turned me in this direction, and so this is where that I'm at. But I was thinking about circumstances as they are. I was thinking about the circumstances of our nation. I was thinking about the circumstances of our community and the circumstances of our church and our station and all these different, that us as individuals, our church family. I was thinking about those circumstances in which we find ourselves. And certainly we would have to say these are days that should be days of prayer. Days that we can recognize the need for prayer and probably an urgency for prayer, to be honest with you. Amen. And so I thought about it. The little book of James, just small little book, five chapters. James has a lot to say about prayer. Amen. Matter of fact, James just doesn't even get started good, if you look in chapter number 1, until he starts talking about asking God for something. Amen. And he says down there in verse number five, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. That's talking about prayer. Amen. Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Look at verse 6. But let him ask, that's pray, in faith. That's prayer demands faith. Amen. Nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with a wind and tossed, and let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So he's going on talking about prayer, and he does over and over in these verses. And he ends the book again talking about prayer. And I didn't read to the very end of the chapter, but I read close to that. And if you'd read on, you'd see he's still dealing with prayer. Elijah was a man of like passions, such as we are, and yet he prayed. Amen. And when he prayed, God answered his prayer. That's what he's dealing with. And thank God it's true for us as well. God's still in the prayer answering business. Amen. Now, I say this about the book of James. I love the book of James because it's a book of action. Amen. He deals with being active and doing something. Faith without works is dead. He's dealing with the teaching that there's some works, there's something
that we need to be doing. We need to be about the Father's business. So when we say let's pray about it, that's not saying let's don't do anything about it. No, actually, that's doing something about it when you're praying. Sometimes we say, well, I wish I could do something, but all I can do is pray. Well, that is doing something. Amen. That is doing something. And so I encourage you to be people of prayer. James was a man of faith and a man of prayer, no doubt about it. Amen. But he deals with many practical issues, and this is one of those practical doctrines that the Holy Ghost moved upon James to deal with, the practical doctrine of prayer. Amen. And so I'll say by way of introduction, I don't believe anybody could disagree with me that prayer is a very powerful and yet a very neglected tool of the saint. What a powerful tool prayer is. And how often it just gathers dust. How often it goes unused. Amen. That song that says, what a friend we have in Jesus, talks about what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Amen. So it is a powerful tool, but a very neglected tool. And I think, again, we'd agree with this, that if there ever was a day in which the saints need to be praying and need to be thinking about prayer, amen, need to be serious about prayer, this would be that day. Amen. The current day in which we live. I'm not just talking about November 8th, 2020. I'm talking about our lifespan, this time that we're engaged in. Amen. And let me just run one rabbit real quickly. One of the things that blessed me about the testimony of David in the book of Acts, it's not found in the Old Testament, but in the book of Acts, it talks about David and he's preaching about David and goes on about how David was gathered to his fathers, but he said after he had served his generation, that's what God's got us here for. Amen. Not to look at the past generation, nor even necessarily look so much towards the future generation, but God has us here for today. Amen. God has us here to serve this generation. So prayer should be used and is much needed in this generation if it ever has been. Amen. So I want to look just a few minutes about prayer and specifically as in these texts that I read to you, these verses, as James deals with it. There's three things that I want to point out. I believe James points out. He talks about individual praying. He talks about institutional praying. And then he talks about intercessory praying. I want to deal with those three things very quickly this morning. Number one, he talks about individual praying in verse number 13, the first verse that I read to you. Is any among you afflicted? Let him individually. Let him pray. Is any merry, let him sing psalms. Amen. And so James starts out with that phrase, is any among you afflicted? Can I say to you, that was a rhetorical question. James knew these people was afflicted. These people were on the run. These people were being persecuted. Amen. He recognized these people understood very well what affliction was. It would be almost like going in a hospital and say, is anybody in here sick? Well, that's why they're there. Amen. And we could go on with a lot of other things. James was saying, listen, I know I'm talking to afflicted people. What you need to do is you need to be praying. That's what he's talking about. Individual praying. Amen. And so he's saying to you and I, and in this rhetorical question, he's saying, when you find yourself in a position of being afflicted, you should start praying. Amen. You should be praying. Now, the affliction that James is speaking of is not just physical sickness. That's what we naturally go to and probably the first thing we think about. Affliction, we think of a bodily affliction, some infirmity of the flesh. And James was not necessarily speaking of that. And I'll say physical sickness or affliction is surely something that ought to be prayed about. But James is speaking to people that have been financially afflicted. They have had their goods stolen from them. They've had to flee for their lives. Amen. They not only had financial affliction, they were under extreme psychological affliction. They were being assaulted by the devils of hell as well as by the enemies of the flesh. They were under spiritual affliction and they were under severe physical affliction. James said, I'm telling you what you can do. I'll tell you the cure for that. I'm telling you the help for all that, whether it's financial, physical, psychological, whatever, spiritual, whatever the affliction is. James said you've got a wonderful tool that fits every one of those categories, and that's the tool of prayer. Amen. Amen. And so James is writing to people that knew what it was to be afflicted, even killed for their faith. They were suffering severe afflictions. Amen. And James instructed them to pray. He encourages them to pray. Amen. Now, I want to remind you four things about prayer. I'm talking about personal prayer and then dealing with that individual prayer. Four things about that. Number one, prayer is a privilege. He says, let him pray. In other words, what he's saying is you actually do have something you can do. He doesn't say allow him to. He's saying you are allowed to. Amen. Amen. Let's read those verses again. And I'll start with verse 13 and read 13 and 14. He says, is any among you afflicted? And notice the word, let him pray. Not just allow him. Is any merry? Let him sing. Who's going to stop you from singing? Who's going to stop you from praying? Is any sick among you? Let him call the elders. Who's going to stop him? And let them pray. Who's going to stop them from praying? Here's what he said. He said, you have the ability to pray. You have the opportunity to pray. You have the ability and the opportunity to sing. You have the ability and the opportunity to call on others to help you pray. And they have the ability and opportunity to pray with you. Amen. So I'll say prayer is a privilege. Amen. When there is nothing we can do, there is something we can do. Amen. We can pray about it. Amen. Too often we forget that we have the privilege to contact our Heavenly Father. We forget we have direct access to the throne of grace. Amen. There we can go to the throne of God in heaven and pour out our hearts to Him. Amen. Amen. Jesus said in John 14:13, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in me. Thank God. Praise God. We have the avenue of prayer. Amen. We have the privilege of prayer. Not only prayer is a privilege, number two, prayer is a personal thing. It's a personal thing. He says, let him pray. I'm dealing with that individual. Prayer is offered to the individual. Now listen, we don't have necessarily just to go to somebody else to pray for us. Amen. Thank God for those that can. But every Christian has access to God in prayer. You don't have to have a priest. Amen. You don't need a pope. You don't need a peephole. Amen. You don't have to have a pastor or the preacher. You can go to God in prayer. Amen. Amen. Thank God we can go to God through personal and private prayer. No requirement that we pass our request on to somebody else. We can give it to God ourselves. Amen. Every believer that's been born of God, born again, they don't need rituals, amen. They don't need idols. They don't need religion in order to go to God. They have access. By the way, we have a relationship with God. Therefore, we have access to God. Amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter number 4, verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen. Prayer is a privilege. Prayer is a personal thing. Number three, prayer is a powerful thing. Well, we know that, don't we? Look at verse 15 and 16. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. That sounds like powerful words, don't it? Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, look at that phrase, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Praise God. Amen. There is power in prayer. Amen. Brother, hang on a minute and I'll get it. Brother Thrym said one night, yeah, it was in a song. He was announcing a song they were going to sing. And he talked about God calming the storm. Sometimes he calms the storm in me. Amen. The McCameys write a song about that. Sometimes he calms the storm, sometimes he calms me. Prayer can be a psychological relief, if I can say it that way. Just there's something therapeutic about just telling somebody your troubles. If they'll listen. Somebody's just willing to listen. It is helpful to do that. But I'm telling you, the power in prayer goes way beyond that. Amen. It's more than just unloading your troubled heart. It's more than that. It's handing it to somebody that cares and handling it to somebody that's capable. Amen. Amen. That psychologist may be there for the money. It may be a job to him or her. They may not care about it. And then again, maybe they do. But Are they capable? Can they handle your problem? Well, I'm glad our God can. Amen. And I'm not saying you should never go to those people, but I'm saying there's a God in heaven that can do much more than that. And so we can unload our troubled hearts. We can tell God our troubles. Matter of fact, I wrote it down this way because I think it's good. What we do is we transfer our problems from our feeble hands into His mighty hand. Amen. We hand our trouble, so to speak, unto Him. Amen. When we pray, our God can do great and mighty things in answer to prayer. Amen. Miracles often occur. Or I should say, I don't know if I can say often. Miracles occur, and they have often in our life occurred when somebody cares enough to pray about their troubles. Amen. Amen. I believe God's looking for somebody that'll trust Him and will ask Him in faith for the impossible things. He said in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I believe God is still looking today for somebody that will trust Him to do the impossible. Amen. Amen. And then number four, I'm talking about this individual praying. It's a privilege. It's a powerful, it's a personal, and then it's a proven thing. All through the Bible, we've got promises of God, and I've quoted some of them to you, read some of them to you. God answers prayer. We've got character studies, stories, if we want to say it that way, of men and women in the Bible that have called on God in prayer and saw God do amazing things. God opened closed wounds. God opened sealed graves. Amen. God opened blinded eyes. God working in miraculous ways. God providing meal in a barrel that's gone empty. God providing oil in a cruise that should be dry a long time ago. God just providing one way or another in answer to prayer. We see it all through the Bible. But can I tell you, those would only be words on paper if we didn't have experiences of it ourselves. Amen. We have experience of that. God's answered prayer for me. God's answered prayer for you, I'm sure. Amen. And I'm glad those promises have been tried and proven in the Bible. Not just promises made. We've got people we can read about that they had that answered prayer. And we can have the same answer to prayer is what I'm saying. If you're saved by the grace of God, you have experience and answer to prayer. Amen. The psalmist said in Psalm 34:6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, praise God, and saved him out of all of his trouble. God answered your prayer when you called on Him in prayer by faith. Amen. Trusting God for salvation. He answered you, and He proved the worth, amen, of prayer. So there's not only individual prayer, and that's a wonderful, wonderful privilege, wonderful, powerful thing, individual prayer. But number two, he goes on to talk in verse 14 about institutional praying. So he said, you're there alone, let him pray, let him sing. But verse number 14, is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. All right, there we've got multiple people. We've got him individual, we've got elders plural, and the church, which is plural. It's talking about all the people of the church. And so he's dealing with institutional prayer, and let them, that's plural, pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, I'm not going to comment a lot about the oil. James is not writing an exegesis on the power of oil. He's writing an exegesis on the power of prayer. Amen. The act of faith. That's what he calls it in verse number 15. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. Not the oil. It's the prayer of faith. Not the elder. It's the prayer of faith. It's not the divine healer. Amen. Got his name in there. No. And I know the divine healer is God. It's not an individual. But sometimes the individuals claim to be divine healers. He didn't say it's the divine healer. He said it's the prayer of faith that would save the sick. And it'd be the Lord that raised him up. Amen. So institutional prayer. And we see James referring to problems which the Christian has that's too heavy to carry on their own. Or too serious just for them to try to carry on their own or bear them alone. He's talking about, we have the ability, the opportunity, the Christian here is told to ask for assistance, to ask somebody else to pray with them. Amen. The assistance of the fellow believers. Now, I put a couple of notes here because I thought it interesting. Here's note number one. It is expected that these problems have already been prayed over by the individual. Amen. It's not that you've got a problem and you haven't even prayed over it and so you call a crowd to say, you pray with me. No, this is when you've reached the end of your limit. You've already prayed. You've already been burdened. You've already stretched your faith as far as it can go. Now you're going to obey the scriptures and you're going to ask for assistance in prayer. Amen. I think it's hypocritical, matter of fact, to insinuate to others that a burden so heavy when you haven't even wept over it, you haven't even prayed about it. Amen. And I believe we ought to do that. We ought to weep over it. We ought to pray over it. And then we ought to ask for assistance. Amen. Ask those believers to join in prayer with us in that matter. Amen. And I do believe that prayer should be made by the individual before it is passed on to the institution to assist in prayer. Second thing I want you to note in verse number 14, it looks to me as if it is expected and even just understood that a true Christian is going to have a church family. Amen. A true Christian is going to have a church family. He didn't say, if you have a church family. No, he said, if you're sick, if you're afflicted, if you're praying, I believe you've got a church family. Amen. He said, you ought to call for the elders of the church. Amen. And that term, by the way, elders of the church, is understood to be speaking specifically of the pastors, the leaders of the church. But I believe we could also deduce it maybe talking about people that have been in the faith maybe longer than you have. People that have proven true, people that have proven faithful, people that have proven dedicated to prayer. And you go to them and say, would you pray with me in this matter? Would you help me in this matter? Amen. I say thank God for pastors and leaders in the church and for those elder members in the church that have proven faithful and dedicated to a life of prayer. Amen. I'm glad we can call on them to help us pray about the situation we find ourselves in. Amen. Ask them to help us pray about the circumstances we find ourselves in. Matter of fact, that's why Hebrews 10:25 is in the Bible. It's because we need each other. Here's what he says. Hebrews 10, I'll read verse 24 because it's part of the same sentence. 24 and 25. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Amen. Now, right now in a restricted service is a good time to preach on that verse. Amen. I haven't asked anybody to forsake the house of God. I've asked us to limit our time and be careful about this. And so don't forsake it. Don't forget the house of God. Don't neglect it. Don't stay away just because you want to stay away. Amen. Don't come up with an excuse to stay away. But long for the day when you can get back in the house of God, recognizing we need each other. And matter of fact, right now, we need each other more than we ever have. We ought to consider one another. What a wonderful thing it is to be able to pray. But then what a wonderful thing it is to be able to pray together. Amen, with our fellow believers. And that's important. I want to think about that for a moment. How powerful prayer is, but two are better than one. Amen. How powerful prayer is, but the fact that we can team up together, we can join in together and we can call on God together in prayer. Amen. Amen. And then my last point, I'm not only talk about individual prayer and institutional prayer, but here's a point that I want us to focus on a moment, intercessory prayer. Verses 15 and 16, particularly verse 16, I'll just read that. Confess your faults one to another. Now, I'm not going to deal with that verse a lot, that portion of the verse, confess your faults. That's what you're needing prayer about. That's what he's talking about. You're confessing, in fact, I'm weak. I need some help here. All right? And then he said, once you've done that, pray one for another. Amen. That's my phrase, pray one for another, that you may be healed. And then he goes on to say, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So we see here not only the importance of prayer, but the importance of praying for others. Amen. It's not just that we're praying on our own needs. I say this, and this is the way I wrote it in my notes, we've got to be careful not to get tunnel vision, that all we see is what's on our plate. Other people have plates full of troubles too, amen. Sometimes it's easy to get there. You know what? Matter of fact, particularly if you've had an illness, I'll use that for an example. You've had an illness that's been a prolonged illness. If you're not careful, you forget other people have lives and illnesses and situations too. You just get tunnel vision. And Lord, help us not to do that. Help us remember we're not just praying for ourselves and our personal needs and desires. We're carrying the burdens of our brothers and sisters. That's part of being in the family of God. We care one for another. Amen. And so we ought to aid them by remembering them in prayer. Amen.
I have asked this a number of times, and I say it again, particularly to the members of the Island Ford Baptist Church. I encourage you to pray for every member of our church every day. Easy to do it when you go down through the pews or the chairs and remember where they sit. And I know we've changed the seating around, but it's still pretty easy to remember pretty much everybody in here by just remembering where they sit time after time. Amen. We ought to be carrying the burdens of our brothers and sisters. They have troubles. They have needs. Amen. And we ought to be praying for them. I think that is one of the job of a pastor. Amen. Is that he cares for the people. He cares for the sheep. Amen. He's looking out for the sheep. And even if they don't care, he cares. Even if they don't see it, if he sees it, he's going to pray about it. He's going to try to warn them about it. He's going to try to fight off the wolf, amen, or the lion or whatever the enemy is. He's going to try to, but not just a pastor. As a brother, a good brother is concerned about his little brother or his other brother. Amen. A good sister is concerned about her other sister, all the sisters. Amen. And so we ought to be caring one for another. And matter of fact, we're never more Christ-like than when we're taking the wounds of another, taking the suffering of another, and carrying it to God in prayer. Galatians chapter number 6 and verse number 2 says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's how you fulfill the law of Christ, by carrying the burdens of others. That's what Christ did for us. James 5:16, right here we just read, pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. One more verse, if you'll turn with me to Romans chapter number 8, and I'll end with this verse and just a comment in conclusion. Romans chapter 8, I'm talking about intercessory praying. This is talking about our Lord. Romans chapter 8, verse number 34. Who is he that condemneth? Who's going to condemn us? Why? Because it is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again. Now look at this phrase. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Now there's great truth in that verse, and you could trace it a long ways. Contextually, he's talking about who's going to condemn us. I mean, God's love is so vast and broad and so deep and wide. God's love is so all-encompassing that how can we be condemned when we're in Christ and we're reconciled to God through our Lord Jesus Christ? He said, it's Christ that justified. It's Christ that died. Rather, it is Christ that has risen again. He's not dead. He did die, but he's alive now. He rose again. But he said, he's not just dead and alive. He not just died and is now risen, but he's sitting at the right hand of God the Father. What's he doing sitting there? Not just twiddling his thumbs. Not just waiting till the world's made his footstool. He's doing something. He's making intercession for us. And that word intercession means he's praying for us. He's carrying our burdens to the Father. He's our high priest. That's the idea there. He is our high priest, carrying our burdens, representing us before the Father. Amen. Telling him our troubles and getting the answers on our behalf in his name. Amen. Amen. Now, here's my conclusion. I say, we are needy people. We are. Every one of us, we're needy people. And we have needy friends. We have needy family members. Amen. Our church, Island Ford Baptist Church, Joshua mentioned there when he's teaching there on faith, and in Romans, he said, your faith spoken of in all the world. He said, I wonder if people in Madisonville would think that Island Ford Baptist Church is a church of faith. They should, because the radio, for example, has been operated by faith for 43 years now. God took care of all the expenses. Amen. By faith. But not just that, the mission work and the preaching and the outreach of the church itself, all that's done by faith. Amen. But can I say, even though the world might look at us and say, boy, there's a strong group of faith, we know deep down we're all needy. Amen. There's not a member, not one member of Island Ford Baptist Church is not a needy member. Amen. You can look to the pastor and say, well, he ought to be a man of faith, and he should be, but he's a needy man. We look at Brother Hall, all the answers of prayer God's done for him down through the years, and yet we'll have to say he's a needy man. We look at Brother Kuhn, man of God, for years been used of God,
Look at his faith. He's a needy man. Brother Williamson, Joshua, Brother Steve, I'm going to go down the line. Every one of us, men and women. I mean, maybe God's answered more prayer for women because a lot of times maybe they're doing more praying than some of us men are. We say, boy, they ought to be mighty men of prayer. They ought to be mighty women of prayer. Yet we're needy. We know that. So what should we do? Well, we ought to be praying people. Confess our needs. Amen. Admit our limitations. Now, we're in a time of political unrest. We're in a time of political unrest. Things didn't happen like I wish they would have. Amen. I'm not talking about who won, who didn't win. I was hoping for a clear-cut winner so there'd be no argument, no rioting in the streets. Clear-cut winner. I had a preference which way it could go, but I thought either way it goes, I want to be a clear-cut winner, and there wasn't. We're in a time of political unrest. Will you join me in prayer? That's my request. Amen. We're in a time of financial upheaval. COVID-19 is limiting people's work ability. It's limiting jobs. It's limiting a lot of things that people can do. And who knows what the future is going to hold now. We could say all kinds of things about that. We need to join our brothers and sisters in prayer about this financial difficulty that may lay ahead. Amen. We're in a time of physical affliction. There's a virus. Seems like almost lurking everywhere. There's a virus, looks like, creeping around every corner waiting to just jump out on somebody. Amen. I tell you what we better do. We better join each other in prayer. Amen. Ask for fellow believers to come together in prayer. And then the last thing here, Joshua, if you will, slip up to the piano and just get ready to play something softly on the piano. Would we join our Lord? He talked about our Lord making intercession. He said he died and he rose again. You know what our Lord did as he was dying on the cross of Calvary? Our Lord not only took our sins upon himself, our Lord prayed for sinners. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We can look around and see sinners in our community, sinners in our family, sinners on Facebook, sinners wherever you want to look, you can see sinners. Will we join our Lord in prayer and say, Father, forgive them. Lord, have mercy on them. They don't even know what they're doing. They don't even know. Amen. Heavenly Father, I pray take the message, use it for your glory and honor. Father, I pray you'd speak to hearts, both here in the auditorium, over the airwaves. Lord, I pray that you'd touch hearts, that we would be men and women of prayer, that we'd be faithful to pray. Lord, you do a great work. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.